brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. This is Stacy Key, your host, and I'm glad you're joining us today. It's Tuesday and it's 11:30 and we're excited that you're a part of the show. We've got an exciting show today. We've got two incredible gentlemen, and we're going to be talking about access to capital. For those of you that may not know, we're going to be hosting, in partnership with other community organizations, a financial summit, Access to Capital, on April the 10th at the Federal Reserve. And both of these gentlemen will be joining us for that summit. And so it is a power-packed day for those of you out there that are interested in capital. We're going to talk about venture capital. We're going to talk about angel investing. We're going to talk about credit. And so if you are available, please join us. You can register at www.gmsdc.org. This is a must-attend event. You don't want to miss it. And if you're interested in capital, this is going to be all the information you need to know. It'll help you decide what's right for your business. And we'll introduce you to the people that can help get you there. So again, mark your calendar, April the 10th, the Federal Reserve. You must register. You cannot show up at the Federal Reserve. It will not happen. They will not let you in. They have money at this facility. So you must register in advance at www.gmsdc.org. And so with that, I've got, again, two incredible gentlemen that are going to be participating on April the 10th. First of all, Mr. Archie Jones of Now Account. Mr. Jones, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
And secondly, not new to the show, and one of our veteran on the show, Mr. Rodney Sampson of Opportunity Hub. Rodney.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Glad you're joining us today. And thank you both for joining.
Good deal.
Happy to.
So first of all, because both of you are very seasoned and knowledgeable about financial matters, first of all, I want to talk about your organizations that you represent, because I believe both of them have resources for entrepreneurs and small businesses. So take a minute and talk about, first of all, you, Archie, talk about Now Account, what you do, how you do it, and how you help small businesses and entrepreneurs. And then we'll follow up with Rodney as well.
Happy to. Now Account is the first revenue accelerator for business to business and business to government. And so for those companies that are looking to accelerate their revenues with their business to business and business to government clients, we are able to do that for them. It operates very similar to the way you would operate with a credit card. If you were taking a credit card from a consumer, it operates the very same way, but it's in a business to business. A lot of companies have challenges collecting quickly from some of their corporate customers, and we help them make that as quick and as seamless and as cost-effective as taking a credit card.
Now, you used the term revenue accelerator, so we're gonna hold that thought, okay? We're gonna come back on that, but you used that revenue accelerator. We're gonna talk to Rodney and talk about the Opportunity Hub, because he's got a lot of exciting things going on at the Opportunity Hub. So, Rodney, talk about the Opportunity Hub.
Sure. OHUB, as we affectionately call it.
OHUB. I like that. Right. It's kind of catchy.
And we're at OHUB ATL on Twitter.
Okay.
OHUB is a multi-campus, we're a co-working space, pre-accelerator, and incubator. And we currently house about 100 companies, and we're incubating about 10 of them. These are companies that we provide space to, mentorship. They go through our curriculum,
okay.
But we've also, many of them actually made investments in as well.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. You've got 100 companies? Wow. That's impressive.
That's
impressive. Impressive. Wow. Okay, so we're going to go back to this revenue accelerator. Tell me what that is.
Revenue accelerator is all about
accelerating my revenue?
Bringing in your cash sooner. So you'll hear a lot about financing sources that'll loan you money.
Right.
This is about actually getting your money sooner. So the best capital is your own operating cash.
Yes, okay.
You've given over the goods or services, and you want to collect your cash sooner. And so we're helping you do that. So it's accelerating your revenue. A lot of people say, you know, it's great to book the revenue,
right?
But collecting it is the tough part in many cases. So we help you actually get that done in a few days rather than the weeks/months that it takes in some other cases.
So many, if you're doing business with a corporation, and you know, many have 90, 120 day payment terms.
You got it.
And so you can help them, instead of the 90 and 120 days, I can get it in 30 to 60 days, basically accelerating that cash flow.
Exactly. And actually, most of that we get to you within 2 to 3 days.
Ooh.
So from the time you give the invoice with a Now account for a 2.5% fee, about the same it would cost you to use a credit card or to accept a credit card from someone, we get you paid in 2 to 3 days.
Okay. So, wow.
first of its kind in the market. So we're
so
excited.
So first
about
of a kind nationwide or just?
Nationwide.
Okay. Okay, that's a good thing.
And we're excited about it. We've been working obviously closely with GMSDC.
Yes,
and
you
helping
have
a lot of companies here mm-hmm. in Georgia and mm-hmm. partnering with other partners of GMSDC, but it's a national solution.
Excellent. And again, I can think of some corporations that do have some extended term agreements, and that's their standard policy of doing business. And I think they need to look at strategically partnering with a Now that would help alleviate some of the pain points for many of their suppliers.
Very interesting that you mentioned that, because we're actually partnering with or having some conversations and soon to be launching and announcing some partnerships with local corporations as well as those outside of the state, mm-hmm. Focusing in on just that, because they actually want to strengthen their supply chain. They recognize that having suppliers mm-hmm. That are getting paid faster and therefore have capital in hand lets them grow and continue to grow their relationships. So those are great partnerships for us. You're exactly right.
Okay. Now, Rodney, if I'm not mistaken, I also recently heard that you're doing a partnership with the Women's Center as well. They're going to be housed as well at the Opportunity Hub. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is with Grace Fricks and ACE. And it's mm-hmm. it's more of, well, ACE is doing this multi-site model. So mm-hmm. they're going to have a location in Gwinnett. They're going to have a location downtown. They're going to have a location eventually with the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be in
Multiple locations to serve the community.
Locations. And so what ACE brings to the table, they bring one type of capital, mm-hmm. Which is on the early debt side, particularly for startups and early stage companies. We've taken on the responsibility of actually pipelining our companies from, you know, even at the pre-revenue stage all the way to the growth stage as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some companies are raising their first, you know, family and friends capital mm-hmm. or their seed mm-hmm. capital, and we're connecting with some of our what we call micro angels. We've kind of mm-hmm. coined that term. So we're taking them at each step, even at a pre-revenue. So we're taking risk before there's revenue. Okay. And then, of course, those that actually have revenue, mm-hmm. Then we're pipelining them to we're doing a lot of pipelining now to VCs mm-hmm. and angel investors out of Silicon Valley, New York, D.C. I'm actually headed to Poland in April. I'm keynoting a startup competition over there, and the grand prize is $50,000.
Oh, wow.
We're bringing Steve Case from That's AOL. Great. He's mm-hmm. coming here on the 7th, mm-hmm. and they're giving away $100,000.
Oh, wow.
Night. So, you know, we're all over what we call the capital markets, particularly yes. at the early stages of it.
Okay. So let's step back and talk about this access to capital, because it's the number one thing for entrepreneurs. It doesn't matter what stage, it is the thing. And so I want to get both of your perspectives of the capital game. Because you need different things at different times in your business. Everyone doesn't need the same thing. And so, you know, we deal with pretty much growth entrepreneurs, typically, our constituent base. But they still need different things. So let's talk about the various options, because you have traditional banking, you have the non-traditional sources, you have VC, you have angel. Let's talk about those sources and what's going on in the market today. Give me a feel for what's happening today, because it seems like there's a lot going on. The economy's on an upswing. This is a good time by all accounts. VC, this seems like a very good time for VC as well. So I'm hearing more things are happening in Atlanta around this VC. Don't know if that's true, but it just seems like a really good time for financing for small businesses and entrepreneurs. I could be missing it. Give me your perspective of what's the environment right now.
Well, I'll give you some data points. If we look at 2013 numbers, so a couple years old, but on the private equity side, angel investing was $25 billion mm-hmm. in America. Venture was $25 billion in America. Now, there's some context, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. When we talk about minority-owned businesses who we not exclusively serve, but mostly both mm-hmm. of our organizations, all of our organizations are serving minorities, women, and companies that have co-founders or team mm-hmm. members from underserved and underrepresented communities. What we've seen is a fundamental lack of knowledge on how to engage at the respective levels. We encounter a lot of SMEs that are doing millions of dollars annually in business, mm-hmm. but their structure prohibits them from actually raising capital at any stage.
When you say this, let's stop and pause. When yeah. you say they're structured so that everyone listening can be clear on what that means. Yeah. When you say they're structured.
Many times it's their legal structure. It's their accounting structure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's their, all of the things that you may look at
right.
many times to vet them beyond just having the invoice. You know, the other checkpoints, we're finding that a lot of the SMEs don't have operating agreements. They've never even authorized.
See, they do if they're with GMSC because that's a requirement.
Right.
See, we all yeah. have operating
agreements. You gotta have that to be certified,
right? Yeah, gotta have it to be certified.
Another advantage.
And the, the operating agreements have to have authorized them to actually raise capital on behalf mm-hmm. of their company. So mm-hmm. there's some nuances that mm-hmm. we're noticing that we're helping these companies kind of reverse engineer. We help structure companies for exit. And if you structure a company from day one for an exit or acquisition, then as you grow from early, you know, from pre-revenue to early stage to mid-stage to actually, you know, growth stage when you're truly doing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, if you're prepared for exit day one, then there's usually no issue.
And you know what? There's something to be said for structuring the company that way because yeah. you're prepared for anything.
Right.
And when you don't do it that way, and many of the businesses are lifestyle, they're not thinking through that whole process and don't have the infrastructure to do exactly that.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned lifestyle. So sometime in April, OHUB is being featured on OWN Network.
Mm-hmm. And, congratulations. That's awesome.
Well, we'll see when it airs because it's a reality show.
Okay.
Okay. So there's this food truck called Too Fat to Fly.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
All right. So on their journey in figuring out business, they take a stop through the OHUB.
Okay, got it.
And they sit down with myself and some other mentors.
Okay.
And so the first question we ask them after we taste the chicken and stuffed, it's great, right? Mm-hmm. First question we ask them, Stacey, is
Can we try some of that? Is that possible?
We have to arrange that.
Yeah, can you?
It's hot.
I'm gonna hold
it's
you to
hot.
That one. We're gonna we've got in here with us Vivian yeah. Rodriguez, our director of communication. I'm gonna you Rodney is. We're gonna have to yeah. try the two
well,
flat
you know,
to fly.
These guys are superstars now. We can't even get a hold of them. You know they all own. But anyway, we asked them these critical questions. Three doors in front of you. Do you want to be a hobby? You know,
yes,
work
right.
a job, right. but just have a hobby.
Yes.
Do you want to build a lifestyle business, which a lot of people
yes.
do?
Many are lifestyle.
Right. I just want a contract so I can live well.
Yeah.
Or do you want to build a company?
Right.
They're all three, all okay.
All okay, but all different.
All different.
Yes.
Very
yes.
If you want to build a company, and these guys said, of course, everybody says, I want to build a company. And then when we start checking.
Talking about what that requires.
What that requires.
Oh, hold it.
Right.
Oh, hold yeah. it.
Not sure.
Yeah. yeah.
And from our perspective.
And see, keep in mind, too, from our perspective, you want to build a company. Do you want to do business in the corporate supply chain? Because that's another piece
yeah.
to that.
That's a whole industry and ecosystem to itself.
Correct.
Right. But to the point, investors, debt and equity,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are 15, 20 different types. Are not really interested in funding lifestyle businesses. But then there are some categories, like for instance, if you're a lifestyle business and you get a contract and this corporation, you know, owes you and wants to pay you 90 days, then of course you have you have options,
right?
Of course. So, but I think it's just getting the entrepreneurs at whatever stage to really get a knowledge of how the capital markets works. If nothing else, at some point, you know, we invest in the capital markets for our retirements, for our investment, for our
that's
portfolios,
correct.
Right?
Yes, that's exactly
what. So you
what
should
we do.
Want to know it, even if you don't need the money, you should want to understand it.
Right. The only thing I would add, Rodney, is that you know, as we look at the marketplace, there's an interesting divide. And so for earlier stage companies, and you know this as well as anyone, there's equity capital available. There's probably more venture capital available than there's ever been.
Right now. So the timing is good
for starting a business and earlier stage. It's probably one of the best times in history, at least from the research that I've seen and read. I think also for larger companies, they still have access to the full range from equity capital, from mm-hmm. private equity markets to also senior lending and everything in between. Mm-hmm. There is this valley in between there for small to medium-sized businesses that are a little bit bigger than startups, so they don't have the sexiness and sizzle of a startup to attract equity capital, but are in that growth phase and need capital. And
okay,
lenders around
valley.
The country are they're not making loans to those. The small business lending in this country has dwindled down to a drip at this point.
Okay. So hold it. That's something. Traditional small business lending has gone to a drip?
It has gone to a drip. I think it is a fraction of what it was 10 years ago, not across the country.
Okay.
And so you find, and we spend time with them every day, small businesses, small to medium-sized businesses even, that are able to win contracts or attracting a lot of attention in terms of new business opportunities, but don't have the, you know, efficient capital in order to, you know, you don't really want to, in all cases, raise equity to do that. You'd love to be able to use debt to do some of that because it's, mm-hmm. in most cases, a
makes
cheaper form of capital. It's just not out there for most of those companies. And for a lot of reasons that Rodney described, I mean, some of the companies do need some help understanding how to build a credit profile, how to organize themselves right so that they can be in a position to get those financing sources. But there is this gap in the marketplace, and it's widening.
Okay, so I'm gonna put a pin in a couple things. Traditional banking sources, you're saying, from the SB, some small business lending, there's some challenges going on right now. I'm gonna come back and revisit that. And then you talked about the credit piece of it. Because one of the things that we're going to be talking about at the Access to Capital at the summit is capital, is credit. And so this whole credit piece of it, let's talk about it. Because, again, what we're finding, even with businesses that do have operating agreements, they don't understand the DUNS piece of it. And mm-hmm. I have one. And what it is. And how do I change it? And I'm just kind of surprise to figure out you're doing $10 million in revenue and you don't understand this DUNS thing? I have a disconnect there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that to address, you know, when you talked about you have, you know, a company that's a $10 million year annual run rate and you don't understand some core fundamentals, you're running a $10 million business like it's a mom and pop. And really, it starts to show, well, this is not a character or integrity conversation, but opportunities for minorities, period. There are people who've given their lives for us to be in a position today to actually work to get contracts and work to get opportunities.
I agree. I agree.
I think we have a fiduciary to, you know, when you look at what the Harriet Michels of the world did, or the Maynard Jacksons of the world, in
right.
terms of the policies they took hits for
yeah.
personally, for
they
us,
they pay the way,
right?
They pay the way.
We get contracts, but we don't even want to put in the blood, sweat, and tears to understand how business in the world works. How do you have a contract? How do you have a certification? And don't even understand what Dun & Bradstreet is, and what business credit is, how to get it, how to maintain it. Even if you don't use it, it's like you got a personal credit score, but you have a business credit score. And the entrepreneurs have, many people can say we have a responsibility to educate entrepreneurs. No, entrepreneurs have a responsibility to learn everything about their craft, period. You have to be an expert in entrepreneurship. So, I mean, I get on a soapbox sometimes because there's no such thing as entitlement in entrepreneurship. Either you want to learn it and apply it or just go work for somebody.
Yep.
But which is okay.
It is a shame, but it is amazing that a lot of business owners have no idea that there is such a thing as a business credit score. It is, you know, we're working to change that. And I think the partnership is, the partnership with GMSDC is a key education tool around it. Again, maybe I take a little bit different tact of a lot of these businesses start at someone's kitchen table, financed out of their personal bank account. And, you don't want to dampen at all the entrepreneurial spirit, but you're exactly right. There needs to be this evolution of the business does at some point, for a whole host of reasons, needs to grow beyond the garage or the kitchen table.
And they do.
And start to take on a life of its own.
And they do.
And it needs to establish, we have a number of potential clients who are running sizable business who have no business credit score because they're still running a lot of the business on their personal credit card. The phones are in their personal names. A lot of it's in their personal information. And so I don't want to make a value judgment on that, but it's the reality that we see a lot. And we spend a lot of time saying, start with getting a credit card in the business name, even with a low balance on it, to start to establish, again, to be honest, it's a lot of things that some people don't know personally in terms of managing their personal credit. They certainly extends to the business side. They don't know how to manage what it really is, how to get it, how to manage it, how to maintain it. And so we spend some time counseling just on here's how you start to even establish a score, because some of those ratings agencies, we can't even pull a score on them because they've never done anything officially in the name of the business. Yeah. And you would be surprised at the size that some of these businesses could get to without having actually done something in the name of the company.
And do you think it's worthwhile? I know we're doing the Financial Summit, and one of the breakout sessions is demystifying this whole credit with the Duns and all that. We've got D&B Credibility coming that's going to participate. Is it worthwhile to do something separate around that, just that core piece? Again, not just GMSDC. We're partnering with other organizations, the DeKalb Chamber, sure. Georgia Chamber, Atlanta Business League. We're partnering with ACE. We're partnering with multiples because all of us have the same issue, and we can each do the same thing, but it makes sense when we partner together and pull all of our constituents. We're doing Opportunity Hub as part of this financial summit.
I think it would make all the sense in the world.
But doing that from a business perspective and having people there to say, you want to understand what your business score is and how do you get it from where, you know, again, I don't know if people that's so personal, they don't want to come to a session about that.
I talk about this in the book Kingonomics, but I think, you know, culturally when you look at underserved and underrepresented communities, there's this, we don't like to have that core personal conversation about money. Everybody wants to make it. But when you start, I mean, just think about today how many affluent people die and transition without burial expenses, life insurance.
Wills.
You know, we're passing the plate.
A will,
estate planning. And it's like there ought to be some prerequisites prior to entrepreneurship. I mean, we're even taking not just Opportunity Hub members, but we call our extended ecosystem. We've been doing this nationwide. We launched a campaign in January. I'm an advisor to a company called Digit. And actually, I met the founder of Digit at the Federal Reserve Board in D.C. when we were having this conversation about crowdfunding and underserved communities. And so we launched a campaign using this tool, Digit, that allows our members to start just simply saving money every day without even thinking about it. So the tool allows us to automatically saves money for, we set up a website, savewithohub.com. Mm-hmm. So it's real simple. You sign up. In the last 30 days, Stacy, I have saved $2,000 without even thinking about it, okay? Mm-hmm. Most people who want to start a business and need to get a D&B number, where do I get the money from, right? We have the money, but we're
spending it in different ways right now.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So when he talks about getting that first, maybe it's a secured credit card.
Right.
It's a secured credit card, but putting that $500 or $1,000 on it to build that D&B number or what have you, little simple things that'll get your pay that score up. But I think you're right. We need, outside of us going to the Federal Reserve, we need to do something that deals with understanding the value of a dollar, the global capital markets, and what does it mean for you to understand how to save, deal with your credit, deal with your personal responsibilities before you go into business.
Yeah, so. And it is the key to access to capital. The sharper you are about those things, it widens your option pool in terms of where you can go. All of those steps, right? Whether it's how you've incorporated or structured the organization, how you've managed yourself and maintained your business credit score, opens up a whole world of choices, both on the equity and the debt side, as well as other alternatives.
Okay, so we've got 5 minutes left, and so this is a three. I know this
time
is a
flies
three,
when you're
yeah,
having
this
fun.
This is a three-part series. Okay, so I want to quickly talk about a couple of things, and I know it's going to be a part of the summit. So for those of you want to go to www.gmstc.org and register for the summit. But let's quickly talk about venture. Let's talk about angel. Let's talk about crowdfunding. Both of you can either jump in. What's the environment right now? I really like crowdfunding, but that's just me. That's just my thing. But yeah. Let's talk about that.
So actually, last week, I was appointed to the board of directors of CIFPA, which is the Crowdfunding Professional Association.
Congratulations. So you're the guy.
Wow.
You're our connection to the crowdfunding.
One of them. But so last week, the SEC actually ruled on Title IV of the Jobs Act. So
okay.
There are different titles and acts. So that's where policy comes in. You also
right.
got to, as a business owner, we're responsible.
Understand the policy.
Understand how policy works. So the Jobs Act was passed, and then different titles are being now ruled on by the SEC.
Okay.
Title II was ruled on September 2013, which allowed accredited investors, those who have a net worth of $1 million+ or make $200,000 a year or $300,000 as a couple, accredited investor crowdfunding has just skyrocketed, okay? Mm-hmm. Title IV allows a company, and I'm very excited about this, to raise...
A company. What parameters of a company?
A company that's incorporated, that has a proper legal structure.
LLCs or just any company?
Oh, any type of corporate structure.
Okay.
Can apply.
Okay.
But... under the Jobs Act Title IV, you can now raise up to $50 million blue sky. That means nationwide from non-accredited investors.
Wow.
With limited SEC oversight. What that means is it's like a mini IPO. So let's say you got a company that's doing $10 million a year.
Okay. So let me think about it in terms of like a nonprofit like GMSDC.
Okay.
So GMSDC is looking to raise some capital. So talk about that in terms of that.
Nonprofit versus for-profit. Nonprofits cannot issue equity.
Okay. So that's out.
However, nonprofits can raise debt.
Okay.
Because debt is still a security. So the Securities and Exchange Commission deals with debt oversight and equity oversight. So as a nonprofit, there are a lot of nonprofit funds. When you start looking at large foundations,
yes,
they're not. None of them are sponsoring this show, so I won't name them. But
okay.
but there are very large nonprofit foundations that manage hundreds of millions of dollars, billion-dollar investment.
That's
funds.
Exactly correct.
Exactly. So. As a nonprofit, you can also have a for-profit subsidiary, right?
Ooh.
So, of course, you have to deal with your legal
structure
around unrelated business
That's
income,
right.
et cetera. But there's a way for a nonprofit to own a for-profit.
Sure.
Or it could be separately managed altogether. But crowdfunding allows for all types of organizations. The biggest thing about crowdfunding is what we call the democratization of the private markets. The private markets have usually been withheld opportunities to very, very wealthy people to get in early on Facebook, to get in early on Twitter, mm-hmm. to get in early on Google, or to get in early on Coca-Cola. At one point, Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. Home Depot, Lowe's, Wells Fargo were all startup companies that wealthy people invested in, and now we buy their stocks in our portfolio. We missed the early opportunities.
Right.
And now we want to be able to get into the early opportunities.
Okay, gentlemen, we're out of time. So I'm going to ask both of you for some parting words. Again, for our listeners, you really don't want to miss the Financial Summit. April the 10th, Federal Reserve, www.gmsec.org. Archie, what parting words do you have as we're wrapping up? We've got to do a part two. We got to do part two. We don't have enough time.
My parting words would be there is capital available. I talked about that that dearth in the market in terms of capital for small to medium-sized businesses. Now is looking to plug that. There are a number of alternatives out there. Growth capital is available. We are excited to support the growth of small, medium-sized businesses.
Okay, great. Rodney.
As an entrepreneur, you have a responsibility to educate yourself. Education, 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 education.
Okay. Thank you both for joining us today. I look forward to your participation in the Financial Summit, Access to Capital. I'm going to have you both back. We got to continue the discussion on access to capital. It is the topic that we really need to help educate more of the entrepreneurs and small businesses throughout the great state of Georgia. Thank you to our sponsors, the Georgia Power, AT&T, the Cox Family of Companies. For without you, this would not be possible. We'll see you next time. Thanks for Let's Talk Small Business.